talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today. The Exchange Club.
And away we go on this Getaway Friday, first Friday in the season of summer, and you can tell by 65 degree temperatures and pouring rain that summer has finally arrived in Marion, Ohio. Getaway Friday, June the 23rd, 2023, 6:23:23, 22 minutes past the hour. Matt Morgan in studio with me, and so glad to be joined by somebody who still listens, calls into our program, called in earlier this week, hosted a couple programs here on this station over the years, Sunday morning and Wednesday afternoon with Nate Redmond and Terry Tackett. Pastor Craig, how you doing?
Good afternoon. It's good to see you. I'm doing great.
Good to have you back in studio. It's good to have you here for the Christmas party and the anniversary party, but it's nice in normal conversation here again, current events.
It is good to be back.
Now, you contacted me. You were going to come in anyway, but you heard my rant yesterday. It seems like it's been longer.
It does.
About the Titanic submarine story. And of course, if you're just finding out, and maybe you are, I don't know how news travels today, everybody died. All
right.
Five people were found. Oh, have they found the bodies?
No.
I haven't found the bodies, but they're all presumed dead. It imploded on
right.
itself, and we don't know when it imploded, but most people are saying probably within about an hour of contact being lost that this happened. So a horrible, horrible thing. My whole rant, just to condense it down, was simply, why did you wait till the last day of oxygen to bring in the heavy-duty equipment? And the heavy-duty equipment is what found the pieces of it that allowed most people to know, or allowed everyone to know, that it was gone. So why did we wait till the last day? That was my rant, with 10 hours of oxygen left, and it was found fairly close to the Titanic, which also is very eerie. But Pastor Craig, what's your take on this?
Well, I have a couple takes on this, yeah. And first of all, I want to say that, you know, we were led to believe on Monday that it's very hard, you know, where they are, it's very far out in the ocean, it's very deep in the ocean, it takes time to get there, and it, you know, only certain, you know, subs are designed to even travel down that far, so this is going to take some time to get there. Then throughout the week, you know, they're telling us that they could hear, you know, banging every 30 minutes, and so, you know, that gave people hope. And then when all the events of yesterday unfolded, you know, you just kind of had, as we're reading these, you just kind of had to pause and say, well, first of all, they say that the Navy detected what sounded like an implosion on Sunday, right after they'd lost contact with the ship. We were never told that during the week. We were only told about the supposed banging that they've heard. So you kind of have to ask yourself, well, why weren't we told that? Because that, you know, that leads us to believe two things. Did they then decide that, well, this isn't really a rescue mission, but it's going to be a recovery mission? Well, then tell us that. Or did they still have hope for a rescue mission, but they waited until they waited till Wednesday till they sent the actual ship that went down and saw the debris field? Why wasn't that sent on Monday? So, you know, there's a lot of questions and things where I personally feel like maybe they weren't telling us everything and it gave people false hopes.
Now, I think people can understand why, even if you believe they were gone, why you wouldn't want to say that till you had proof because of the families.
Right.
And I get that because if there had been some kind of miracle and they had found them after saying, we think they're gone, I get that. So, do you come out and say, this is awful, we don't think there are any survivors, or do you do what they did and say, we don't know?
Well, personally, I feel like they should have been a little bit more open and upfront and said, you know, we've heard some things that don't sound good, but we haven't given up hope. And we're still going to continue with, you know, the mission. Hopefully it's a rescue mission. We're holding out hopes. You know, I don't know.
Well, what was the banging? Because does anybody believe they made the banging up?
No, but, you know, I read, I've read so many things, but I read one person who's done a lot of ocean stuff, and he said that that's one of the hardest things to determine what exactly the sound is when you hear something like a banging, and it's every half hour, because there are so many different things that can create sound in the deep ocean that it's hard to determine. But, you know, you move back, and so you say, okay, so they hear this noise, this banging, and they couldn't really figure it out. But when they say that they, on Sunday, heard what sounded like to them an implosion, and they were operating from that standpoint ever since then, they knew what that sound was, or they were pretty sure what that sound was. So, I don't know, there's a lot of big mystery. But I want to say one other thing. And I want to back up a couple of days, because you mentioned in your rant yesterday that you were out in the public the day before and people were talking about it and people had different, you know, takes on it. And, you know, I heard some people talking about it myself. And the one thing that kind of bothered me early in the week when this was unfolding is that I really feel a lot of people were focusing on the wrong thing. You know, there were people that said, you know, well, that's what those rich people get. You know, they think they can just do whatever they want if they've got the money for it. And now we got to send out our people and waste the time and the efforts to rescue them. And, you know, folks, that's not the right conversation to be having during that time. I honestly feel that we as human beings have almost an innate morality when it comes to other human beings. I mean, you take that scenario and you could say, if you've got a 10-year-old kid that's skateboarding off of the roof of his house onto the driveway and he breaks both legs, what are you going to do? Say, well, you're so stupid, you deserve that. No, you're going to help them. You know, we go to whatever efforts it is to rescue people or to help people, even if it's something that we feel is stupid or a waste of time. If you've got somebody that's lost, you look for them. If you've got somebody that's hurt, you help them. Now that it's all over and done with, we can go back and we can criticize where we want about they didn't respond fast enough, or the sub was never, you know, viewed by any regulatory people to see if it was safe. You know, we can have all those discussions now, but I really do believe that when it's going on, the focus should be, hey, there's people down there, and we need to get them out.
You know, the shocking thing that I found, because it became more apparent to me really on Wednesday night. The people were really starting to have conversations as time ran out. And oxygen was running out, essentially, was the problem. And they kept talking about this guy who had worked for the company who had warned them that something bad's going to happen. And maybe he did. I'm not saying he did not. But before you know if these people are alive or dead, I did not understand why that conversation was even happening.
Right.
Now, thank goodness I don't know of anybody who put him on television or radio. I don't think they did. Now, I also think part of that was because I think he had a non-disclosure agreement that he couldn't. So he disclosed something to somebody along the way, but he could not go on anywhere and say what he wanted to say. But I did not understand that, because this is a search and rescue, I believe, up until yesterday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I do want to get it right, because it was, I talked a little bit about a show I was watching yesterday, and I thought it was interesting. It was The View, I was right about that, where they were discussing it, and four of the ladies were talking about, you know, the ship or the sub was made poorly, this guy had said this, da 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 da. Whoopi Goldberg never says, however you feel about Whoopi Goldberg, whatever, but she never said a thing in the entire 10-minute segment except introducing it, because she's the moderator, and at the end, all she said was, I'm praying for these people, and that's all that needs to be said until we find out. And I thought, that's probably where the news had to report on it. but they didn't have to give their opinion. And the only one I saw that handled that very well was the network news, which only has 30 minutes a night to do. I thought they just gave the facts every night. And whether you like them or not, CNN pretty well did the same thing. CNN had analysts on. They have time to fill. But I never heard them give CNN's opinion on it. The other two cable networks seem to do a lot of that.
And really, the only time that those opinions or criticisms or whatever are of any value is after the whole situation is over and done with. Then you can, you know, state your opinions and you can give all your criticisms and you can say, well, they should have done this and they should have done that. Okay, that's good to have that conversation later. Maybe we can prevent something like that from happening again. But, you know, while it's going on, I don't really think it's necessary. You know, these people are down there, and so you're going to criticize how the sub was made or the materials that were used, because I've seen several things on that as far as the materials used. That doesn't do any good now.
You know, now is the time to have that conversation.
Right.
After, I don't know if they're going to recover the bodies. Probably not.
Right.
And, you know, that's unfortunate. Matt, as a 19-year-old person, the Titanic, see, when Pastor Craig and I were younger, there were survivors around. Titanic was talked about in a little different way because in our lifetime, there was a point where we didn't even know where it was. It was a big mystery. So the in the movie, you know, was a gigantic hit, number one hit. So we lived through that. I don't even think you were alive at 19 years old when Titanic came out, when Titanic was found in the 1980s.
When the last survivor died.
The last survivor died because it sunk in 1911. There were survivors around. So you probably have a little different take on the Titanic than we would. Well, what's your take on this whole submarine thing?
I mean, personally, I don't know what the point in looking at the Titanic is anyways.
People do in this other generation. Like, they do care.
Like, I'm going to be honest with you. But, like,
$200,000
like,
worth.
Like, the thing is, I understand wanting to find it, like, when you don't know where it is. But, like, they found it. They took pictures of it. They've done the things they needed to do. What's the point of going to look at it now?
I understand. Yeah, I get it. But what is... They did. I mean, let's just put it that way. They went down, and they went to look for it, and I think $250,000 a pop? Is that what it was? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so they wanted to. I don't understand why people ride roller coasters, but they do. So.
Or why people get tattoos.
Why people get tattoos. Oh, we don't even want to go there. Why people get tattoos. But they did. So what does the Titanic mean to you? Because to me, it's one of... because of the time I've lived in, it's a great mystery. It's also... obviously, a lot of interest. The movie did very, very well. And it also is a psychological experiment because rich people got off that boat when poor people didn't. And we learned from a lot of the survivors that's exactly what happened. But now, what does it mean to somebody of your... when you hear Titanic, what does that mean?
Not much.
Right, because it's becoming part of it, like the Hindenburg. Which, right. See, it's part of like what the Hindenburg means to me, which is not much. Because all the survivors were pretty well gone by the time I came around, and there wasn't anything to find.
As events become further and further in the past, they really do lose a lot of their significance or their notoriety. And, I don't know, sometimes I'm afraid that, you know, we also tend to forget the lessons that were learned right after, you know, big events in history.
I'm pretty sure we do.
Yeah.
Is there any irony? Because I didn't want to talk about this yesterday in any great detail, but now we know the ending of this story, so I think it's fair to talk about this. Is there any irony in this that the Titanic was the great unsinkable ship, and it sunk? And here it is, and that's why, honestly, it's great appeal. Other ships have sank. Titanic will always hold a place because it was unsinkable. Oddly enough, it sunk. And it was a psychological, sociological experiment with the rich and the poor. Now here, people, because of all that, are going down to see it, clearly risking their own lives, read the paperwork, and they die. The Titanic really, essentially, has claimed 5 more lives here.
Right.
Is there anything to that?
Yeah, there's a little bit of irony to that. And especially when you even factor in that, Okay, there were survivors from the Titanic, and yet this little submersible that went down, there were no survivors. So, you know, there is a little bit of irony. Yeah, I think so. Because not a lot of people can go and see that. This isn't an attraction at Cedar Point. You know, it's so few people that have the opportunity that can go down and see this, and then boom, it takes five more lives.
Now, somebody will have to check me on this, but I believe this is correct, that the Titanic was made with much fewer lifeboats than it would need because it was the great unsinkable ship.
Right.
They didn't fill them to capacity, so that was a whole nother problem, but there wouldn't have been enough lifeboats for everybody anyway. So here you've got a ship that we thought was greatly constructed, being poorly constructed, and a submarine that I don't think anybody ever thought it was greatly constructed, but they felt safe enough to go down in it. This was not its first voyage, by the way, either.
No.
And yet, it is flawed, you know? So, there's another irony in the whole thing.
Right. So, you know, I don't think the, you know, you and I, we were talking off the air, or maybe we weren't, I don't know. But I don't think this company will continue. I don't think that's going to happen to the company. They'll probably be out of business. But I think there'll probably be somebody else to step in and do the same thing, and it'll be, you know, better constructed or safer or whatever.
James Cameron, who made the movie Titanic and who's been down there 33 times, says he hopes this doesn't deter people
right
from going down there, because he's a real buff on this. Matt, do you think that these companies should be, or these families should be able to sue? Their family members signed heavy duty waivers and they wanted to go. Doesn't that kind of take the edge off suing?
Yeah, I think, I mean, like you said, so you said it said in there that you could die
three times.
So, like, if you read a document, like a legally binding document, through and through, when it says three times that you could die, and you sign at the bottom of that paper,
there
is no repercussion to them. You've done signed it all away.
But here's the psychological thing, and I'm going to come to Pastor Craig on this one, too, is do you ever think you're going to die even when you read it three times?
I mean, you always...
Clearly not.
I mean, you always know there's a possibility.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
When you're going all the way to the bottom of the ocean, like, the majority of sea vessels...
Why would you do it, then?
Why would you do... Just because you... Because you can, I guess. You have the ability to. It's something that most people can't do.
I don't... Pastor Craig, do you think... You read it three times and, do you really think?
I don't think that most people really think. Most people would have signed it anyway, would have written the check because they wanted to do it. You know, this wasn't his first trip down there, so I said, well, you know, the other people came up okay. I mean, stop and think of it. Put it on a smaller scale. When you walk outside and get in your car, every time you get in your car, do you say to yourself, you know, 50,000 people died last year in automobile accidents in the U.S. I hope I get there. I mean, we the scale is different, but yet I think it's still the same thing. If, you know, we get used to doing something, or if in this case, you know, well, he's already made X number of trips down there, and yes, I know I can die, but I want to go.
Because the argument, I think, will be made by the families that, yes, even though it said they signed their life away, essentially they did, right. The argument will be made it's a poorly made vessel. They knew it, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I think that they could possibly get them on is that it wasn't regulated in any way. It was just built and then sent down.
But didn't they know that?
I don't know if
shouldn't
they did
they
that
know
or
that?
Not.
Yeah. Well,
they
should, and
but I don't know if they did.
And the other thing is, it's not a requirement that it be regulated. So, you know, to me, it doesn't look like there's any kind of a legal issue there that families could sue on.
I think it's going to be... I think somebody will try.
I think so,
because they're angry.
Oh, yeah.
They're angry that their family... And they should be. But I don't know where they're going to go. And you know what else I didn't understand? What was this whole bit about is it Game Boy control panel being used to steer the thing?
Controller.
Yeah. Why?
The Game Boy, you know, handheld... That was their steering mechanism. And, you know, I
yeah, they were using a Bluetooth controller.
Basically. You know, on the one hand, you say, really? But on the other hand, okay. So, is there more technology out there that would be so much better? Or is the technology in that Game Boy sufficient to operate the object? You know, I could see it both ways.
You know what I didn't understand? Now, apparently this thing was the size of a minivan.
Right.
Five people in there, and apparently people who had been on this expedition for $250,000 prior to this had said, we didn't see anything. There was no guarantee that you were going to see anything, and a lot of times they didn't, and still had to pay the quarter of a million dollars, quarter of a million dollars. You're right, there was a billionaire on there, though, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So, a quarter of $1 million, and you don't even know that you're going to see anything. Why? Now, that I don't understand.
No, I don't understand it either, but, you know, why do people risk death to climb Mount Everest? It doesn't do anything for me.
It's something you get to say that you've done something the majority of people haven't done.
I had that exact conversation with somebody the other day, and it wasn't about anything big, but do you know people who go on vacation just to say, I went there? Now, see, I told somebody, I said, I have no interest in that. I went to this landmark. If I don't care about the landmark and don't want to see the landmark, just to say I went there, so like in a conversation I can drop in somewhere, hey, I saw... I have been to Manhattan many, many times. I've never went to the Statue of Liberty. I've seen it. I took a boat out there and shook its hand. There's no interest in that for me. I see it.
But when Elon Musk has his spaceship ready to go to Mars, there are people who are going to pony up the money to go to Mars.
Of course they will. But see, again, it doesn't mean anything.
No.
At this point.
No, it really doesn't, you know. It's kind of like when you were talking to Pastor Whitaker this morning. You know, does any of that really mean anything? No, what means something is, like you said, can I be... live with this person in a cardboard box.
Yeah.
It's the relationships that matter. That they're going to forget if, so you go to Mars or so you went down and saw the Titanic, you know, hey, look at me. 50 years from now, 100 years from now, nobody's going to remember. It's not going to do anything.
Isn't it the unique things that we do in life that you really remember? Money clearly means nothing when you're dying. Money goes away and it's over. That nobody says, wow, he was really, really wealthy.
No, it goes to other people.
It goes to other people, and some to the government. So that's the end of the money. That it stops there. And when it comes to the Statue of Liberty, I'm just using that as an example, or Mount Everest, a lot of people in the end up doing that. So you're doing nothing unique there. The unique things are those relationships, are those friendships, are those moments that were created organically that don't happen other places. That's what people remember.
Right.
And that's who remembers you in the end anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
The people who were close to you in life and who knew those things about you.
Right.
So, but why are we always trying, clearly, to our own death to do these things? Like, take a submarine to the bottom of the ocean floor to see the Titanic, to climb Mount Everest, to bungee jump, to skydive. Why?
Part of it is ego. Ego, you know, I did this, nobody else did, or very few did, or I did this, I have the resources that I can do that. It's centered in ego.
Now, Matt, at 19, is there something you want to do that you would consider life and death? You could die if you did it.
I mean, there are lots of things that you could...
You want to do. You want to do.
No, if there's a fair possibility of dying, I'm probably just going to avoid it. It's not worth... There's nothing worth giving my life over doing. You only get one life. Can't give it away.
Well, that's very bright. That's very... Most people don't have that opinion.
That's right.
Pastor Craig, anything?
No, I agree with him. There's nothing I would do that I, you know, that I have would have to sign three times. There's a chance of dying. No, nothing's worth that.
It's interesting to me because outside of doing this show, there's nothing life-threatening that I do in life from day to day. But I've died on the air many, many times. So why? I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's an odd thing, and that's why I think this... Why was the story captivating? Titanic?
People are drawn towards... catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, but This was such a small amount of people, and not to minimize any life, but we're talking about five people. We're talking about an isolated area. Why was this, by yesterday, the lead on every news station?
I don't think it was the Titanic. It was just the nature of what it was. You know, the five people that are missing and could be dead. It's along the same lines as I remember back a few years ago that soccer team down in Chile that was where there was in a cave or something. And I mean, the whole world was like glued to the news. What about that little girl down in Texas that fell down the well? And I mean, we're glued to our TVs for 21 hours or whatever.
I remember I was in first or second grade and there were some miners who got trapped in a cave.
Yeah, I remember that. Wasn't that in West Virginia?
In West Virginia.
West Virginia.
And then everybody was real.
Was it boy down the well or girl down the well?
I thought it was a girl, but I don't know. But the point is, when it's when someone is presented with a potential tragedy, and can we rescue them? And we want to know. And quite honestly, deep down inside, we want the people to be rescued.
Oh yeah,
everybody does, unless you're a serial killer driving a Bentley. But everybody does.
What was his name? They called him something. I'll have to look it up later on.
I don't know.
No, but honest to goodness, the guy couldn't get a date. Not the time to go killing people.
Hey, Mom, Dad, I think I'm going to go out with this guy. He drives a Bentley. I think he's a serial killer, but I think I'm going to go out with him. There's got to be something in your personality that causes you to be a killer that probably maybe comes out in your relationships with other people where you just kind of go, no. No, no thanks.
Well, I've started to watch Society recently, and I think this plays into this. Do you notice that almost everybody I know, no matter what financial bracket they're in, man, woman, whatever, they like the ID channel. They like murder mystery. Real murder mystery. No, movies don't get it anymore. We've got to have the real killings. And people like that, and they get addicted to it. And they will watch it hour after hour after hour after hour. And they'll even make movies. The Jeffrey Dahmer movie that was made this past year. The movie on the Ramses that was made. Jonestown movies have been made. People want to see that stuff. It has an audience. And I'm not really sure why it does. And I think that's why when we look at this stuff, all that stuff could have ended well. It didn't. But in the end, we still watch it. We know it ain't going to have a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't know why. I don't know if it's just the mystery or the suspense, knowing that there's going to be a final outcome. Whatever the, however the mystery is solved or the suspense is solved or the rescue's made, it's the mystery and the suspense because you know there's going to be an outcome, and you want to know what the outcome is.
Did this essentially become a mystery? Why were they down there? What happened? What's the banging? The Titanic? I mean, is that what happened? Mystery?
I think so, because I think 99.9% of the people had never even heard of this company that was taking these little sub trips down to the Titanic. We didn't know anything about it. And then, boom, all of a sudden, this incident happened. And we're like, where did that come from? Who are these people? I didn't know that you could go down to the Titanic for $250,000,
Does this feed into the history, the lore of the Titanic?
That's kind of a hard one to answer because, quite honestly, 50 years from now, the Titanic's not going to mean a whole lot to a lot of people.
Apparently not.
And so this may feed into it for 10 or 20 or 30 years, but I don't know if long term it'll probably
mean anything.
Be forgotten.
Yeah. Well, does it add to the lore to you right now, Matt? Did you learn more about the Titanic because this was in the news?
Or did you become more interested in the Titanic because of this?
No, I was actually really interested in the Titanic like years ago when I was in like school still. I don't know, like I would have been in like second grade or so. I would like draw the Titanic. I watched videos. I would like so like I don't know why. It just really interested me. But not really.
You know, this will play any part in its history.
I mean,
it'll be a footnote.
It'll probably be like a footnote.
Well, the only reason I say this is not the movie itself, Titanic. I get why that's a big thing, because that's been in the last 30 years, and it was the number one movie at the time, and it was about the whole ship. But you know what? I doubt you'll know this name, Matt, but maybe you will. The unsinkable Molly Brown. Do you know who that is? Okay. Well, that was somebody who was on the ship, a rich lady, and she made it back. And she would not be detoured. Now, a lot of other people would not be detoured either. I think they made her into a much bigger personality than she really was in real life. But a movie did that. A movie, I think, starring... Who made that movie? Was that Shirley? It was one of the actresses of the day, a big actress. But there's a movie, The Unsinkable Molly Brown. And that lived on for a long time. And for some people, still does live on. But it was just lore of the Titanic. I don't even know if people know that Molly Brown is connected to the Titanic.
I don't know.
They might not.
And probably a large percentage of people right now have never heard of the movie The Unsinkable Molly Brown.
That's it. And that is... Now, is that today, society, we have too much? I wonder about that sometimes. Because, okay, let's say the Civil War... Okay, now, none of us were alive during the Civil War. We did not know any Civil War survivors. But yet, we know about the Civil War because there were only three channels growing up. You had to read books. History was history. Now, you've got the internet. You've got 10,000 channels. You've got everybody creating their own content. There's so much of everything. I don't know that we know what's important and what's not anymore.
And I think part of that is, as time goes on, more big events happen that kind of compress the importance of that. You know, like, for instance, when my parents were in school in the 40s, okay, Civil War was a big deal. And at first World War was a big deal, and they were living through the Second World War. Well, you know, then generations come, and we've gotten, since the time of the Titanic or even the Second World War, we've had the, you know, two space shuttles that have, you know, ended in disaster. We had 9/11. So when you have these major events that captivate a decade or two decades, and you start stacking them up, you know, I think the things in the far past just tend to fade away.
So this becomes a footnote. Does the Titanic itself ever become a footnote? Because it's even been used as an adjective. When people say something is bad,
right?
You know, boy, that's like the Titanic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it become a footnote? I don't know.
Maybe two or three generations from now, if you made that comment, somebody'd say, what's a Titanic?
Yeah. Do you think we'll get to that point?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, it's interesting because, now I'm going to ask your opinion, and then I'm going to tell you what I have heard. People in history, since the beginning of time, you can name anybody you want, but who is a person, or whom is a person, famous in history, good or bad, that no matter how much time passes, they don't lose any luster as far as people still know them, people still get what the name means. Who is that to you?
Napoleon.
Now, that's interesting.
I got to give you two.
Okay.
Abe Lincoln and Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler is what I think. And I'm not sure, because it's not a president, not an American. Horrible, horrible man. But think about this. Has anybody ever worn that mustache again?
Nope.
Has anybody ever the name? You can't. Do you know any Hitlers?
No. And look at the swastika.
Yeah.
You know, a swastika today, you know, everybody will say something bad about it. But that was actually, you know, American Indians had used that symbol, you know, hundreds of years before that. It was just a symbol that he chose. But look what it's done.
Now look, do you know who Adolf Hitler is?
I do, yeah.
See, even with a scoff, you say Hitler, but think about that. Hitler is in the Titanic era. Titanic faded.
Right.
Hitler does not.
I don't think he ever will. You know,
why?
He's kind of like a, you know, It's Genghis Khan. I mean, how many hundreds and hundreds of years ago did he live? But yet people are at least familiar with the name. You know, I think he had such a mark on humanity that he'll never fade away.
You know, it's interesting because when you talk music, and I want to go through because this is much happier than Hitler, but when you're talking music, it, one band or one performer that, again, has that thing since the beginning of time that we just know who it is. Matt, who would it be?
Since the beginning of time?
Beginning of time, music.
Man, I don't know as far back as I can go. I like Hank Williams.
Hank Williams. See, that's an interesting choice.
Beethoven.
Beethoven? See, I say Beatles.
I was going to say Elvis.
See, the argument always has come up, Beatles, Elvis, Michael Jackson. And I think Michael Jackson is the closest to us right now, and I think that's why he's in that category. I think Elvis appeals to a certain group. I don't think Elvis is on the playlist of a kid 15 years old. The Beatles, for whatever reason, when they were together, you will hear Eleanor Rigby, Hello Goodbye, on a 15-year-old today's music playlist. I don't know what it is, but there's something there.
There is.
And it's the Hitler thing. Those things don't fade over time. There's something timeless to them. Clearly in Hitler's case for the bad, clearly in the Beatles' case for the good, but what is that most things in time don't have?
The Beatles have a curiosity about them because there are so many conspiracy theories that revolve around the Beatles.
Well, and also tragedy. John Lennon gets assassinated.
And the other thing is, too, is they had a huge influence on so many other musicians who came after them. And you can't also discount that as part of it.
Do you think when John Lennon and Ringo go that it will hurt it at all?
No.
I don't think so either. Because Elvis is gone, Michael Jackson's gone. I don't know that that hurt their popularity, but I just think their music is of their time. I don't think the Beatles is. They did something that other people didn't do. And for the bad, Hitler, it wasn't just that he wanted world domination, because clearly other people have wanted to do that.
Right.
It clearly is the Holocaust.
Right.
That is what he did. That was so heinous and so horrible that we have never seen anything like that before.
Levitron.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you think we'll ever see anything like that again? What was it? And there's an irony to that, too, because he wasn't what he was killing. You know, he was not the master race that he wanted to be.
Right.
Strange.
I honestly think that there was an element of some mental issues there.
Had to be.
I know a lot about Hitler. I watched, like, videos on him.
Now, see, there you go. This is 19 years old. Think about that.
So, Hitler, growing up, he was abused by his father a lot. He had a younger brother. He had multiple younger brothers, actually, multiple older brothers. Most of them died in infancy, and then he came along, he survived, and so did his brother Alois. Alois died at a young age, and then after he died, Hitler's friend actually wrote a book about him, and wrote that after his brother's death, Hitler started, he changed his behavior. He would start, hanging out around the cemetery walls, and he would, his good grades that he used to have went to bottom out. He started, raiding orchards and stuff,
Now, think about that. That bit of information that came from a 19-year-old about Adolf Hitler. There you go.
Yep.
And that's the thing. Now, Hitler, interestingly enough, though, and people don't like to use good adjectives to describe him, and I can certainly understand that, and I don't necessarily want to either, but he was charismatic.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, listen to him speak. Listen to those crowds. Look at the crowds he drew. Yeah. And that's why I'm always skeptical of crowds, in a way, for one person. Because fan comes from fanatic. And fanatic is not necessarily a good thing to be. And I think there is a line. You can like people, and you can go see concerts, and you can go see people. But and you can see it in those Adolf Hitler speeches. You know, they are there for him.
Right.
He is their guy. And right. they ended up doing everything he said. I mean, you watch the Nuremberg trials, and all of these people's defense, all of them, who stood up there, said, I was following orders. That's their defense mm-hmm. for all the people killed. Mm-hmm. Following orders. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
What does that say?
That shows how a very charismatic person can get large numbers of people to do what he wants to do.
So with about 2 minutes left here, Matt, what is the legacy of this whole submarine story? It's hot right now. It involves the Titanic. Well, what are we going to say about it in a month? Forget about years. Is it even going to be a thing? Are we going to forget next week?
I don't know. Give it a month and we'll probably all be done talking about it. And if we're not done talking about it, it'll be more so discussions of how it went wrong.
What was it blown up? Way. Was it blown up? Should we have paid as much attention to it as we did?
I don't think so.
What do you think, Pastor?
Well, I think we should have paid as much attention as we did because it was five people down there. But I think probably in a month or two, it'll be gone and forgotten, and we will have moved on to something else. And there'll be a slight resurgence of interest if, like, they come out with reports about, you know, how exactly it happened or what should have been done. But then it's going to fade away.
When it comes to the Titanic itself, because clearly people are still going to go down, people are still going to learn about the Titanic, does it become part of that story for a period of time?
I think it does. It becomes a part of that story.
Does it drive people away, like James Cameron fears, of doing this, or does it make more people want to do it?
I think it makes more people interested.
Yeah.
The people who like thrills are going to be more interested in doing it, and they're going to, and like you said, most people probably didn't even know, or maybe it was you, but either way, most people didn't even know that you could go down and visit the Titanic for $250,000 a ticket.
Did it create an awareness for the Titanic for people who didn't even know what it was?
I think it did.
Does that help? Good or bad thing?
Good. Yeah, I think it's probably good.
Bad that this happened. But good that it created an awareness in something yeah. that is historic. Didn't a few years ago they want to sail on the 100th anniversary of the Titanic, a ship just like the Titanic, but it was scrapped because of, wasn't it something to do with the pandemic, same time as the
yes.
pandemic?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe this should teach people a lesson. Don't tempt fate. If something happens bad once, don't wait a century and try to do it again.
I was just about to say the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't think you should sail a ship on the same exact route you sent it the first time.
You know what? That's before we go here, I do want to mention, because that's interesting. That has always fascinated me. Is that psychological, or is there something to that? Is there a will that could... is there a higher something in the air?
Feel like you're asking to be cursed, bro.
I don't know. What is that? What do you think? Is it a curse? Don't do that.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah. I think, you know, if, you know, let's take a trip on the anniversary. We're going to sail the exact route. You know that there's nothing, like, it's cursed, right? But still in the back of your mind, you'd say, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't understand, but people would do it.
I just feel like
every seat would be sold out.
It's disrespectful to the people who, actually died on the
you know what?
On the original voyage.
That is the other part of the conversation I had the other night about thrill-seeking and, you know, going someplace just to say I went there. I'm always a little... And I know people listening have been to these places, but like the 9/11 memorial, to me, I don't understand why that's an I went there thing. I don't understand going to tragic places.
I don't understand it either. I really don't. And the 9/11 is a very good example. It was a horrible, you know, thing for our country. But I'd have no desire to go there and see the memorial. And even on a smaller scale, I don't get this, and I'll probably anger some people, but I don't get why when someone's killed in an automobile accident, people have to put a cross right there on that spot and stuffed animals and flowers. And, you know, I mean, for me, I don't want to remember that spot where a loved one died. I want to remember other things. And so there's an aspect of that I just don't understand.
Well, and what has social media done to this when somebody's social media? I do not understand when somebody dies from whatever, everybody goes to their social media page and all of a sudden tells them how they feel. They're dead. They're not checking their social media anymore. You should have done this a couple months beforehand. And that you know what? That's one of the major lessons I always feel people should learn in life. Do not wait for a retirement party or a death to tell people how you feel about them. I understand that's awkward for a lot of people, but you know what? You do it when they're dead. What's the difference? Yeah. Except they get to hear it.
I agree with you 100%. Don't wait until they're dead.
Don't wait until the party's over. All right. Matt Morgan will be back with me tonight, and Sean Kraft, and a special guest. Tune in. We will have a female perspective tonight on the show, 8:15 to 10 p.m., and it's going to be a good show tonight. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about this Titanic, because I know Sean's interested in it as well. So there'll be a little conversation about that tonight. Pastor Craig, so good to have you back with us, and in a couple weeks,
yes,
you'll be back with us as well.
Some more.
So stay tuned for more programming here on WGH Talk.
WGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet. www.wgh107.1.com